just like a tree that's planted by the water.
We want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries. It is our desire that each person come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Let us open up with prayer.
Father, I just give you praise. I just give you glory, for there's none like it unto you. The great I am, who sits on the sides of the north in Mount Zion, the circle of the earth. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior. We thank you, Father, for your glorious Holy Spirit, for he is the eyes of the Lord who run to and fro throughout all the earth to show himself strong on those whose heart is perfect towards you. Father, we just thank you for making our hearts right.
Hey God, I'm going to be speaking on how we overcome by faith and love. You know, my little brother called me Friday night, and he told me that our youngest brother had died, and they found him in his truck. He drove a big rig, long haul, and he was in the truck, and it had been running for 2 days when they found him. And I was bothered because I wasn't sure if he went to be with the Lord. He was in deep bondage of sin and had been in trouble with the law. And it's a long story, but then I remembered I just talked 3 days earlier on the last podcast about, or actually almost a week earlier, about God saving my family members because of my obedience and faith and me praying for them. So that gave me some hope that he is with the Lord. Because I don't believe in consequences. Look at Acts 17:26. I'm going to read the New Life Version. He made from one blood all nations who live on the earth. He set the times and the places where they should live. See, God decides how long we live, where we live. And, you know, some of the decisions we make in life are not our own. You know, if you believe that scripture, you'll come to see that. Turn to Hebrews 1:13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You know, we have angels around us. If you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, you have angels around you. Or if you're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you have angels around you. And, you know, God knows who will eventually receive his salvation. And he's got his angels around them to protect them. And he won't let them die until they're saved. See, nobody slips through God's hands and goes to hell. If they go there, it's because they rejected God. Now, I want to say something about the message I put out 2 weeks ago about the mystery of Christ. And I don't know how many of you out there could hear what I was saying when I talked about the mystery of Christ and how it compares the relationship between a husband and wife to our relationship with the Lord, and how a husband and wife bring forth children in their intimate relationship. Likewise, as we have a close relationship with the Lord, then the Word of God will be conceived in our heart and cause us to be born of his Word. And just since I put that out, this has become more clear to me than when I first spoke it. And we also looked at how it's in the context of becoming members of Christ's body as his word is conceived in our hearts. And we need to take heed to become a member of Christ's body. We have to submit to Christ as the head of the church, which is his body, even as the wife submits to her husband. That is part of being joined to the Lord. See, all these things, when you get your eyes open, it shows you what God is doing and how you can cooperate with him so he can work in you. You know, in the parable of the sower, the heart that doesn't understand, the stony heart, the heart filled with the cares, can't get the word of God conceived or germinated in their heart and therefore become born of the word of God. Now you put that together with the mystery of Christ, that as we have a relationship with the Lord, we commune with him, we spend time with him, we submit to him, then his words conceived in our heart. Because in the parable of the sower, as I just read to you, the heart has to be prepared to receive the word. And it will come about as we submit to Christ, the head of the church. He will prepare our heart. I'm telling you, y'all, this is the key to being an overcomer. All right? 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right? Turn to 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I'm going to read that in the New International Version. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. New Life Version. May you have loving favor from our Lord Jesus Christ. May you have the love of God, and may you be joined together by the Holy Spirit. All right? You know, I sat down one time to read the Word of God, and immediately I had communion with the Lord. And I thought, oh my gosh, the Lord was waiting on me to commune with Him. See, you want to spend time with the Lord every day? Read His Word. That should be your meeting with the Lord every day. You know? And you know, you husbands, you wouldn't like it if your wife didn't ever want to spend time with you. All right? Well, the Lord wants you to spend time with Him. So go commune with Him. Get together with Him and read His Word. Expect Him to communicate and to commune with you and to talk to you. You know, when we put His Word in our heart and we talk to Him, we set our affection on Him and long after Him, then our heart will become open for His Word to be conceived in us. And then changes will take place. See, this is the key to changes taking place. Now, you'll have times when you don't have any desire to commune with the Lord, or you may never have much desire for the Lord, but just use your will to read His words and to believe on Him and ask Him to change your heart so He'll turn your heart towards Him, and He'll do it. And now it won't all come in one day, but God delights in turning our hearts towards Him. Look at Deuteronomy 36. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul that thou mayest live. See, God can cause you to love Him. And He wants to. I used to feel terrible because when God started exposing the hate in my heart towards God, and I thought, what the hell's God going to do to me? I was scared to death. And He convinced me that He was going to save me and He was going to change me and He was going to turn my heart to love Him. I thought, man, would you do that? Lord, would you do that for me? I thought, how gracious. He wasn't offended at me. He knew my heart was in a fallen state. He knew my heart was against Him. See, that's a good thing. God is so kind. He will expose your heart and then He'll say, look, just believe on me. I'll change your heart to love me. And you want to know why some people don't love God? Because they've never experienced His love for them. Because when you know God's love for you, it'll change you. You know, 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. All right? But you have to experience that. You don't just read it in the Word of God. When you begin to experience the love of God for you, it will make an effect on your heart. It'll change your heart. Look at John 8:37. I know that you're Abraham's seed. This is Jesus talking to those Jews that want to kill Him. But you seek to kill me because my word have no place in you. Same scripture, International Standard Version. I know that you're Abraham's descendants, but you're trying to kill me because you have not received what I told you. Amplified Bible. I know that you're Abraham's descendant, yet you plan to kill me because my word has no place to grow in you and it makes no change in your heart. See? James 1:21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. English Standard Version. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. See, you put off the old man. You push off you the best you can. Some of it you can't help. While you're still in slavery to sin, sin will get the best of you. But you keep putting it off and you keep putting the word in your heart. It'll save your soul. Now, last week, I talked about the way of transgression. I was talking to you about 2 weeks ago, message. But last week, I talked about the way of transgression, how Christians go through hard things too. But let me show you something. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest on your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let's read that in the New Living Translation. Then Jesus said, come to me. Now, he's saying this to all of you out there. You're burdened down. You're beat down. You're tired. All right? Jesus says, come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden I give you is light. Okay? It's not hard walking with God after you overcome. All right? I want to encourage you with this. Listen to what I'm saying. 1 John, turn to 1 John 5:3, International Standard Verse. For this demonstrates our love for God. We keep his commandments, and his commandments are not difficult. I think the King James said they're not grievous. They're not difficult because everyone who is born from God has overcome the world, and our faith is a victory that overcomes the world. See, it says, scarcely, I didn't put the scripture down, but scarcely are the righteous saved. That word scarcely means with difficulty. It's difficult to work out your salvation. But as you get it worked out, keeping the commandments of God are not difficult. See, I want to encourage you with that because, see, the devil tried to beat me up and get me to quit because some of the things were hard, getting my heart changed, working out my salvation. But it says, this demonstrates our love for God. We keep his commandments. His commandments are not difficult because everyone who's born of God has overcome the world and our faith is a victory over the world. See, the reason the word of God is difficult for you to obey is because you haven't overcome the God of this world, all the evil spirits that are in the world. But as you're born of God, you can overcome the wicked one that resists you from walking with God. And it's only difficult to obey the words of God where your heart is against it. And in that area, the devil has you bound. See, people that aren't bound up with hate, strife, and unforgiveness, they don't have any problem obeying, forgiving their neighbor for trespassing against them. That commandment isn't hard for them. See, do you get the picture? So anything in God's word that is hard for you to obey, once you get your heart changed in that area, the devil will lose his hold on you in that area, and it won't be hard for you to obey that commandment anymore. And the more we're changed, the more we will be yoked up with the Lord and controlled by the love of God. See, you know, we find all these wonderful promises in the Word of God, and it's God's desire for our life, for these promises, to give us these promises. It's God's desire for us to be healthy, to be prosperous, to be made righteous, to be happy, to be fulfilled. See, so God wants that for us, and we want it. So how do we make the connection? How do we get it? Okay. So, you know, like I'll say it again, God wants it. We want it. What's the problem? We have to get it by faith. And faith only works as we submit to Christ, the head of the church, and walk in his ways. See, God ordained it this way. You want these promises? He wants to give them to you, but he wants your life. He wants you to submit to him. And guess what? As you submit to him, he transforms your life. See, he doesn't want you to have all, he doesn't want to just give you the blessings in your fallen state. He wants to transform you, and then you inherit the promises. Hebrews 11:1, International Standard Version. Now, faith is the assurance of what we hope for will come about, and the certainty that what we cannot see exists. Faith is the assurance of things we hope for that will come about. So we know through faith we are assured of that. We can get what God has for us. But our faith won't work very good until we're justified. See, God ordained it this way. But God gives us the measure of faith so that then when we use it, we use that faith, we get justified. See, this is what you need to go after, being justified. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have peace with God through faith, because through faith we're justified before God. Hebrews 6:12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promise. So faith causes us to receive all the blessings. Now, what keeps us from getting all the blessings? Well, our sins and iniquity keep us from it. Jeremiah 5:25, your iniquities have turned away these things and your sins have withholden good things from you. Oh my God. You know, one time God said to me, I have many, many blessings for you. And he showed me, and I saw this in the spirit, that he had a line of blessings as far as I can see. And you know what? The more I'm turning from my sins, the more I get the blessings. All right? Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to deliver you from your sins. See, if you have that religious tradition of salvation, you just think that means going to heaven. No, it also means to be saved from every sin. It also means to be blessed. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believes, Jew first and also the Greek. Now, all the promises of God, like being made healthy, prosperous, forgiven of our sins, purged from our sin, and being made happy, are all given to us through the gospel. Every promise of God was given to us through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith comes by hearing that gospel. Let's look at that. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. That's what I'm doing. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, who has believed our report? So right here it says, to obey the gospel is to believe the gospel. Then faith comes as you hear and believe the gospel. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, so it's not just any word of God, but the gospel. All right, hearing the death, the burial, and the resurrection. See, you can preach the law, it won't make faith come. In fact, it'll shut up your faith. Okay, so go back 8 verses, and we'll see that it says we get into the righteousness of faith when we believe the gospel. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now go back 2 verses, and it calls this gospel the word of faith. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And then it goes on, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is where your faith will, it will bring faith to you. It's hearing Jesus died, was buried, he rose from dead. There's where your sins are forgiven. There's where you're made the righteousness of God. This is what brings all the promises in your life, and it sets you free from all your sins. You get the promises. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break and put in a song here. Let's do He is Jehovah by Pamela Pontia.
He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the balm of Gilead, the rock of ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
God that healeth thee.
He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son he sent to you and testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing
So what we as Christians should be focusing our attention on is the gospel and getting the power that's in the gospel to work in us and to be made the righteous of God. Turn to Matthew 6:31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these do the Gentiles seek. All these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. Now notice God knows what's going on with you. He knows everything you need. Okay? And what does he tell us to do? He says, seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be given unto you. And the gospel is the power of God. The kingdom of God is the power of God. So seek after the power that's in the gospel. And his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Now, of course, we got to get a job. Develop a career, but we need to seek after, desire, go after the kingdom of God, or to get the power of God to work in us, set us free from every sin, and then seek after, go after, desire to be made the righteousness of God. See, so what I've been teaching you about becoming a new creature is exactly what the Word of God teaches to do. See, if you're not doing this, you've missed the mark as a Christian. If you're not seeking to get a revelation of the gospel, get that power working in you, be delivered from all your sins and be made the righteous of God, you missed the mark, okay? Now, there's a lot of Christians that are zealous for God, and they determine, you know, to put God first place in their life. They can read that. They want to live righteously. And some say, I need to keep the law of Moses. Others say, no, we don't live by the law. But what I found in both camps is they don't know how to be made a new creature of Christ and walk in the Spirit of God. Turn to Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now the word availeth means to prevail or overcome. Now let's read that again. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision causes you to overcome anything, nor uncircumcision causes you to overcome anything. But what does cause you to overcome? Faith, which worketh by love. All right? Now turn to Galatians 6:15. For in Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, same Greek word, availeth, to prevail, to overcome. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision causes you to overcome anything, nor uncircumcision causes you to overcome anything, but a new creature. Now, if you compare Galatians 5:6 and Galatians 6:15, you'll see a new creature in Christ walks in faith and love, and that's how you prevail or overcome, okay? And you'll experience this as you become a new creature in Christ. You can walk in the Spirit. See, that's how you overcome. See, you'll begin to experience that, and you'll begin to say, oh, my God, through faith and love, I can get in the Spirit, and I can walk in the Spirit. And when you're moving and walking in the Spirit of God, you can overcome any spirit. When you pray, there's no faith, you're not walking in obedience, you don't have the Spirit working in you, you won't get in the Spirit. But as you pray in faith and you pray believing, you'll get in the Spirit. And then you begin to move in the Spirit, and you can wrestle with principalities and powers or rulers of darkness, and you can overcome them. So all you Christians wanting to put God first, seek first the kingdom of God, being made the righteous of God, or being made a new creature of Christ. See, there's many ministers that are always dealing with sin, but say little about faith. But the only way to overcome sin is through faith. Then there are those ministers that are always talking about faith and getting wealth and being healed, but they don't talk much about putting sin out of your life. But you'll have trouble getting the promise of God, like getting your soul and body healed and becoming prosperous financially, unless you overcome sin by faith, all right? Also, there are plenty of people who have good health and who are prosperous financially. But unless you get the sin out of your life and be made the righteous God and learn to rule the devil, then the devil will be working at getting at you to destroy your health and steal your money. See, you're not protected. There's no guarantee you'll keep your health, and there's no guarantee you'll keep your money. So don't say, oh, well, I got money and health. I don't even need to listen to what you're saying. I'm already there. Oh, well, you can have money, and you can, you know, there's wicked people that have money. That's not a test, you know, that you're righteous. You know, people that say riches or wealth is godliness, they're deceived. Now, if you get it overcome your sin, thank God, then that's godliness. Okay, and a minister of God, let me tell you this, a minister of God will teach and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified and teach you to believe that, walk in that, and you'll be an overcomer. They'll teach the book of Romans where you can walk in Christ and you don't have to be condemned no matter what sin is in your life. Because let me tell you something about walking in the gospel. It'll start to expose your sin. You'll start to see the iniquity of your own heart. Some of it's not pretty at all. Okay? But you see, God will meet you where you're at, and He'll tell you to believe the gospel and walk after His Spirit. And like I said, when He exposes your sin, you don't have to be condemned about it. You know, let me read your Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this scripture helped me a lot, because I didn't have to be condemned while I was overcoming the slavery of sin. And if you're not condemned, then your faith will work. All right? And part of walking with Christ is having your sin exposed, but you will have trouble overcoming it if your sin is exposed, you're condemned about it. But if you begin to get a hold of Romans 8:1, say, well, you know what? I'm walking in the Spirit, so there's no condemnation. And then as you got your faith working, you mix it with the gospel, then you'll overcome the sin. See, and look at the next verse. You'll see what happens as you walk after the Spirit of God. Even though you still, you know, you're in the slavery of sin, but you're walking after the Spirit. Look what happens. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. See, the big mistake ministers make is trying to bring God's people to repentance by shaming them and telling them they're guilty until they stop whatever sin they have. And you know, there's no problem not yielding to certain sins if you're not bound by them. But when you're under sin, and every one of us are under sin to one degree or another, and whatever area you're bound in, you're going to have trouble not yielding to it. But through faith in the gospel, you can overcome it. But if you're condemned, you won't. See, ministers condemning you to get you to quit sinning is just a hindrance to overcoming. And you said, well, Scott, last week you talked about pulling people out of the fire by ministering them fear. Yeah, but I'm dealing with people that are know they're wrong and they're willfully committing sins and they have no fear of God. We're not talking about people who walk in Christ. See, you need to be afraid if you're just willfully sinning. You're headed for trouble. See, you need to have enough fear to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and walk in Him. As long as you do that, you're fine. Okay? See, and I don't tell people you're okay if you just try to do what's right. I say you'll be all right if you walk in Christ. But, you know, first you're going to have to receive the Lord and walk in Him. And then you'll be all right. That's what I teach. And that's what the Word of God teaches. See, so we need to get in faith and walk in love. All right? Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be grace. Get the promise. To the end, the promise might sure to all the seed, not only that which is of the law, but that which also is of the faith of Abraham, is the father of us all. You want to learn to walk by faith? Look at Abraham's life. Okay, go to Romans 5:5, New Living Translation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us His Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Let's read that in contemporary English version. That will never disappoint us. All this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit who fills our heart with love. Here, the Spirit of God is imparting His nature to us. Now, when is God imparting His nature? Well, let's go back and read the previous verses and get this all in context. Verse 1, New Living Translation. Therefore, since we've been made right with God In God's sight, by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, God has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we are confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials. Now, look at what the problems and the trials do for us, for we know that that will help us develop endurance. Let me read the whole third verse again. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and strength and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. For this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. See, God brings us into right standing with him through faith, then starts making us righteous, making us his very own nature. See, love is the nature of God. We could say the fruit of the Spirit is love, period. And all the other attributes that are listed in the fruit of the Spirit are all love. Look at 1 Corinthians 13:4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And charity is loved. Love, I'm just exchanging charity for love. Love suffers long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love beareth all things. Love believeth all things. Love hopeth all things. Love endureth all things. See, love bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never faileth. Now, in another translation, it also can bring out the meaning love never ends. But whether it be prophecies, they'll end, and tongues, they'll end, and they'll cease, whether it be knowledge, it's eventually. Now, people pull this out of context and say, we no longer speak in tongues, prophecy, and all that. But see, that's deceitful because knowledge hadn't passed away yet either, so neither of these. So a person who walks in love and faith will overcome the world. And it's imparted to us through faith, okay, as we're walking with God, as we sow the word of God in our heart, all right? Not sure if I have any more. I think that's it. I want to go ahead and give an invitation. You know, as funny as I had a person text me today, and they said, should I go get a manicure? And I said, yeah, if you want to. Let me see. I forgot what I said, and this is kind of funny. I was just kind of playing with them a little bit. And they said, can I go get a manicure today? And they had the wrong number. And I said, sure, if you want to. And they text me back and said, of course I want to, but are you free? I said, let's go together. They said, let's go together. I said, no, thanks. I just clipped mine with clippers. And then I said, who are you anyway? I'm Jessica. Isn't this Lucy's number? I said, no. And they said, sorry, I didn't know. I saved the wrong number. I thought you were a friend. Please forgive my mistake. I said, no problem. Have a great day. And they said, thanks for understanding. Hope you have a great day too. Hope you got a nice manicure. Laugh out loud. And then I said, hey, if you're interested, I'm putting out my podcast later. I preach the gospel, teach the word of God. You know, I gave them the link, and they said, oh, sounds good. I saw it, but I'm an atheist. And I said, well, God can change an atheist. Jesus of Nazareth said, if you keep my words, you can know whether what I taught were my words or they came from God. I've had God prove to me the Bible was his words, and he ministered to me many times his spirit. And you can feel it. God is very real. He works in his people who believe. The evidence of God is all around us. When you look at creation, you can see man and woman were created for each other. There are many things I could tell you, but I don't have the time now. I pray the love of God rest upon you. Have a nice day. Anyway, I'm always reaching out to people, witness to them. You know, I'm an apostle, prophet, teacher. And I do the work of an evangelist. And I also function as a pastor. You say, isn't that pride to do that? Nah. I go look at Philemon 6. Let me look that up real quick. My Bible app, Philemon 6. Here we go. I'll find it. Where is Philemon? Oh, right above. First chapter, there's only one chapter. Verse 6. Now look at this. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. That's the gift of Christ to me, the apostle. Gift of Christ to me, the prophet. Gift of Christ to me, the teacher. Gift of Christ to me, the pastor. Gift of Christ to me, the evangelist. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. All right? That's why I say what I say. It's not pride. That's why Paul opened his letter and said, I'm an apostle and prophet. Peter said, I'm an apostle and prophet. Because I know who I am and I know it's a gift of Christ in me. And as I say it, it makes my faith become effectual. See, that's why I do it. I started saying this before work, before I went to work. And I said this many years ago. And I said, I'm an apostle and prophet. I went to work. I could tell the spirits were, it affected demons. I could discern in the spirit they were a little bit shaken. Why? I was making my faith become effectual in that area. So I want to add that little bit of truth there. Let's go ahead and give an invitation. If there's any person out there, you've never been saved, never been born again, not sure you're born again, not sure you're saved. Well, let's say this prayer. It says, there's no other name under heaven but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to God except by me. You can't come by any other religion. You can't just be a good person and go to heaven. You must be saved. You must be born again. And the way to do it is to call upon the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This will be proven to you. Call upon the name of Jesus. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I call upon your name. I call out to you, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I thank you that you died for me. You were buried and you were raised again. Father, I pray for that person. I think her name is Jessica. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of the living God would rest upon her and draw her to Jesus right now and cause her to call upon the name of the Lord and get her born again. And then prove to her that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ came from God the Father. And they are the words of God. And every person can get to know God. Every person can, and by faith, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And we can get a revelation that Jesus Christ of Nazareth really died for us. And he was buried and he was raised again. Let me tell you something, folks. You don't want to live in this world without the Lord. You don't want to be on your own. There's a destroyer out there and he's destroying people. You have an unseen enemy. I don't care how crazy that sounds. It is the truth. And people are being destroyed around you. And even if you don't believe that, it's so. You want Jesus Christ as your Lord. You want him as your shield and your buckler. You want to go be with him throughout eternity. So receive the Lord now. Call upon his name. And you'll be born again. And if you just said that prayer, Spirit of Christ entered into you. And you're begun to be spiritually regenerated. If you hold fast the gospel, your salvation will be completed. All right? I don't care what other people taught you that when you receive Jesus, you're immediately a new creature. The Word of God doesn't teach that. I don't care if they teach you that you say one prayer and you're totally born again and got a whole new heart. The Word of God doesn't teach you that. So I don't care if people say I'm a heretic. I say you go back and look at what the Word of God says, because what I say lines up with the Word, and what I've heard taught all my life doesn't. Okay? So I'm not bothered. I don't need anybody's amen, and I don't need anyone. I don't care. It doesn't bother me for people to speak against me, for people to say, oh, my father didn't teach that. This pastor doesn't teach that. This person, he went to seminary, he doesn't teach that. This person's been in the ministry 50 years, he doesn't teach that. Nobody else teaches. I don't care. They don't teach what the Word says. Okay? See, the words of God are all plain to him that understand them. And I'm going to keep speaking them till they become plain to you. And when they become plain to you, you don't need to believe what I say. You just believe the Bible says. Oh my God, there it is, right there. It's right there what he's saying. It's right there. It's been there all along. See? But they didn't have a revelation of the parable of the sower. And once you get a revelation of the parable of the sower, then you can know all the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It'll all be unfolded to you. And then everything will start to fall in place. You go, oh, there it is. There it is. Oh my God, it's plain as day. It's been there right before. Just as simple as a farmer plants a seed, every seed produces after its kind. We sow God's word in our heart. It is a seed and it produces God's nature. It's that simple. And it's been there all along. But for I don't know how many, half a century, 2 centuries, how many centuries has went back? People couldn't see this, but there it is, right there. And maybe there's lots of other people out there that have the revelation. I don't know. I just never heard anyone else teach it. I didn't get this from anybody else. I got it from the Spirit of God. And you know how I got it? I read in there that unto the disciples it was given to know the mysteries unto the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto everyone else, it was not given. And I said, okay, so if you're a disciple, you'll get it. And if you're not a disciple, you won't get it. And then I read, to become a disciple, unless you forsake all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. And I said, and then I read, a disciple is a Christian. So I said, well, I can't even be a Christian unless I forsake all that I have. And I thought, oh my God, this is really getting to be a lot. But, you know, that it is what it is. So I read it and I said, okay, well, I got to lay down my life for Christ's sake and the gospel to become a Christian. But then if I do, then the mystery of the kingdom of God will be given to me. So I took that very seriously. And I said, okay, I have to do this. But then it took me, well, anyway, I started doing that. And then God gave me the revelation. And then after he gave me the revelation of the parable of the sower, then he began to unfold all the other parables. And I'm not saying I know them all. And in fact, I'll say I don't know them all. But one after another becomes unfolded to me. They all fit together. So anyway, that's all I got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
Hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water.